Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good evening, and welcome to the next phase of Ice and Friends. And this is Thursday, happens to be October the 7th, 2010. The next phase with Ice and Friends held airing every Thursday, 7 until 8:30 p.m. Central Standard Time, 5 to 6:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and 8 until 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'd like to get us started. We will have a guest a little bit, just in a few minutes, calling through, I'm hoping. And I'll be looking forward to hearing her, and I'll be watching the switchboard right after this. I need to give you some information right quick. Our little disclaimer that we always do, any comments or opinions you hear on this show do not necessarily represent the views and or opinions of the host, sponsors, or Blog Talk Radio. The description of the show addresses community concerns in regard to designing ways members in the community can increase their ability to acquire more income for themselves. In addition to that, methods to address increasing political strength and impact, will also be featured. Financial enhancement, increasing political strength and impact, improving possibilities for combining efforts with others who have similar interests. All these and more poignant concerns will be approached in an entertaining format, we hope. There will be musical segments on occasion, interesting guests as always. Every opportunity we have, we feature someone, as well as questions and comments from you, the listening audience. If you have any interest in improving situations for our youth, that is one of the primary focuses that we keep before us here on the next phase with Ice and Friends are the youth in our communities. Stemming incarceration estimates for minority members of this society or reassessing the significance of spiritual impact and also investigating the best possible means of boosting knowledge for improving your health, as well as many other pertinent topics too numerous to include. Join us right here Thursday, 7 until 8:30 p.m. Central Standard Time on the next phase with Ice and Friends. And remember this, if you want to jot this number down and you have a question or a comment you'd like to give us a call, feel free to do so. We encourage you at 347-945-7040. And if you have any information that you'd like to provide for us, anyone that you'd like to contact, or if you'd like to be a part of this show, just drop us an email at blakicz, all one word, .1@gmail.com. That's blakicz.1@gmail.com. And right now I'd like to thank our last guest, who was Ms. Vicky, a.k.a. Pinadia, for her wonderful thoughts, insights, and information and encouragement on our last show. If you ever miss a show, please know this, that they are archived for your examination on Blog Talk Radio. Just look for them under Black Ice, B-L-A-K-I-C-Z. And now let me check the call-in line, hopefully, right quick. And there, I hope so. Is this you, Dr. Reba?
Yes, this is me.
Wonderful. Let me give you just a brief introduction. Thankfully, tonight we are joined by Dr. Reba, R-E-B-A, a wonderfully gifted spirit who has, with the blessings of God, accumulated a very impressive resume, and I will allow Dr. Reba to elaborate on her accomplishments at her leisure. Dr. Reba, thank you for joining us, and I know I'd like to give you the mic, and I think we wanted to talk about your book and any other topics that you wanted to address.
All righty. Well, I'm excited to be here tonight. I thank you for the opportunity to come and to talk about the book and any other topics or questions that your guests might have tonight. My name is Dr. Israel, Reba Israel, and the book is The Essentials of a Healthy Marriage. It will be available on Amazon, as well as Barnes and Noble's and other bookstores next month.
All right.
By November, we're going to have it out by Thanksgiving. So we're excited about that. The book is contains information to help couples have healthy marriages and work through their issues from a biblical and Christian perspective. So it's we're excited about that.
Right, exactly. May I offer my congratulations to you?
Thank you.
And I've had the pleasure of sharing a part of your program that you do. Would you spell that Reba Israel, please, the last name?
Y-I-S-R-A-E-L.
R-A-E-L. And what was the title of your book, please, ma'am?
The Essentials
Okay.
Of a Healthy Marriage.
Okay. S-E-N-T-I-A-L. Of a Healthy Marriage. All right, real slow. You have to look over me. Dr. Reba, may I ask you, what was it that prompted you to address this particular topic?
I think as a clinician, I'm a therapist, and I have a PhD in Christian counseling and a master's in psychology and finishing up a master's in licensure of marriage and family therapy. And I found that many of my clients were really having relationships problems, and I enjoy doing research. And the research tells us that 50% of marriages are ending in divorce, and the leading cause of divorce is infidelity. And over 50% of those people who are filing for divorce and being granted divorce, most of them had claimed some religious affiliations to be whether Catholic, Protestant, Episcopalian, African-American, Christian, some religious affiliation, and that concerned me because, you know, as a cultural, especially from an African-American perspective, we have viewed the church as a place of wholeness, a place of real spiritual growth and healing. And these statistics were very troubling to me, and I felt that my experience, and I'm an ordained minister as well, I thought that that would be crucial to help people to develop the skills that's necessary to have healthy relationships, and you do need skills in order to have a healthy relationship.
Right, I understand, and you know, I'm let me say, I'm a product of a broken home, and I've had two marriages previously, and several, quote-unquote, whatever they are, relationships. And, you know, I it's interesting that you would have a book and this much information available, because I wish that I had apprised myself of some information of that nature previously, because I feel that it would have been beneficial, because, you know, there are so many, so much collateral damage of broken homes. Anywhere from the two individuals who were initially involved in the marriage or the relationship or whatever you might call it, as well as the children, and if many instances it's perpetuated, you know, generationally, and if the parents have problems and they don't have you know, a system or a mechanism to address those problems, then the children find themselves repeating the same behavior patterns, which cause the parents problems, which causes the children problems, you know?
Absolutely. It's a residual cycle.
Right.
You know, and unfortunately, during the time of a divorce, parents are so caught up in the emotional traumas or experiences that they're experiencing, then they're really not thinking about the impact of the children because they're so devastated by going through their own divorce at that time.
Right.
So it does have an impact on our children as well as the couples, and we just have to educate people on couples on how to communicate and how to, you know, how to work on negotiations and
right.
You know, and different other skills, and it requires skills. And if you come from a broken home, you don't know what healthy looks like. You don't know what a healthy
right.
marriage looks like, you know. So you're just really trial and error, you
exactly.
know, and hoping that you're shooting in the dark pretty much and hoping that you hit the mark. And
right.
So it does require skills. And so we're excited about the essentials of a healthy marriage coming out and being able to educate our couples and hopefully we can decrease this divorce rate and help people to develop the skills necessary in order to have a satisfying and long-lasting marriage.
You know, stemming that tide of I guess you could call it, characterize it. But, you know, this term I don't like to use too much is failed. But after all, it is, well, I would say then more incomplete than failed, and you know what I'm finding at this age, I'm 58, is that there are, I never realized how much ambiguity there was in terms like love and marriage. And, you know, when a person, for instance, I suggest, oh, I love a person, that I don't really define that. I only give that expression, and then it's up to the individual that I'm initiating that expression toward, or at least presenting that expression to. They have themselves a concept of love that they employ, and we hope, as you say, by luck, that both of us have agreed upon the same definitions. And we've came to the same determinations as to what love is, because what I found is that in the pursuit of what you might consider to be success in a relationship or a marriage, because I really have a problem with the term relationship, because it's to me it has some ambiguity itself.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, in regard to trying to come to a conclusion that satisfies both components in a healthy marriage, both individuals have to have, I would think, a consensus opinion, or at least, you know, some agreement as to what the term love is, because I think that's what initiates a marriage to me, is because initially you like a person,
mm-hmm.
you enjoy their company. Am I right?
Well, I think that you have to define the types of love. There are various types of love and kinds of love, compassionate
mm-hmm.
love, you know, empty kind of love, non-love, compassionate love, romantic love, infatuation. I mean, there's different kinds of love, and I think in those relationships you have to be descriptive as to what kind. There's agape, you know, and so I think that we have to categorize that, you know, what type of love do you find in your relationships, you know, with people. And, you know, like Faddis love is with passion and commitment, and, you know, it's just different kinds of loves, and I think we have to evaluate that. And people have to understand that if you really don't love yourself and have worked through your own issues, it's very challenging to try to really have a healthy relationship with someone when you have some unresolved issues that you possibly may have for the rest of your life, because you know, some people just don't get healed of some issues. You know,
I'm thinking as you speak, and I'm sorry if I'm interrupting you. I hope I didn't interrupt your thought process
there. Mm-mm.
Okay, you know, I'm thinking you know, provide that information, that, you know, if you, the first love is for yourself, I guess, is what you're saying. And if you don't know how to love yourself, then do you think people just assume that they love themselves, or, you know, I'm just wondering how does a person come to the conclusion that they even understand, you know, what love is? You know.
And I think, as we said, there are different types of love, and I think we have to be descriptive as to what kinds of love. There's different kinds of love. There's different kinds of relationships. And as human beings, human sexuality is just, it's just normal to be attracted to someone. And I think what happens is that you find yourself attracted to an individual, and you really haven't evaluated that as to what kind of attraction is this. Is this platonic? Is this, what is this? I just know I have an attraction. And I think when people don't investigate what that attraction is, and I think they jump into relationships and it becomes intimate when it really was just a friendship.
Right.
And they have extended it beyond what it was originally intent. And so now you have another unhealthy relationship because people just didn't evaluate what kind of love or what type of attraction this was, and they've taken it to, you know, they've taken it to another level that it really, the relationship, the energy really just did not that was not its intent.
I understand, and you know, I think I understand what you're saying, and you know, as you speak, I'm thinking that when I was, you know, I don't have any brothers or sisters, okay, and so I was raised, you know, just pretty much by myself, and you know, I found myself enjoying the company of my friends, okay, now, not realizing that they had established relationships in their family structure, Mm-hmm. And so I would, you know, more or less adopt them as part of me and try to associate them as being my family when they already had previously established, you know, they had a determination as to what they assessed their family to be. Now, and I said that for this reason, that, you know, based on that progression, if I progressed and went along, whenever I found, like, a person of the opposite sex, a female, a girl, and younger, you know, as I was growing up, you know, you think based on what you see and what you hear that when you see this girl and she shows some interest in you, that there is an emotion and the only description you have for it is love. And so as you, you know, as you watch, you know, how people use the media to express what this definition is to you, it has passion, it has the hugging and the kissing, and so you assume that you've discovered, you know, the true definition, because she, you know, she makes you happy, and but you know, you don't realize at that young age, and so you want to repeat that feeling.
Absolutely,
you know.
Absolutely. Well, research indicates that the most healthy relationships and long-lasting relationships are those that have been established on friendship. And it's very challenging, it's very difficult to love someone you don't know.
Right.
And so I think that what I tried to teach couples in our Couples Pound retreat is that to get to know your spouse or your mate should be your best friend, not your buddies, not your drinking buddies, you know, and not your people at your church. Your spouse, your significant other, your partner should be your best friend. And I think a relationship can, starting on that, then you can have a healthy relationship with your friend, because relationships change. Today, you're husband and wife. You're married, your husband and wife. Well, tomorrow, you might not feel like, you know, you love him like a husband or wife, but if you still have a friendship base, then you still can be amicable and communicable with that person on a friendship level, you know, because there's different levels of relationships as well. So it's important to have those relationships that be built on as friendships, you know, so that they can grow into maternal, you know, intimate. So they can grow into intimate relationships, but they first must start with friendship.
You know, let me, may I just want to briefly deviate just for a second.
Sure.
And I have some friends, a wonderful, wonderful two friends of mine. My dear sis, Miss Indy DeClaire is in the chat room, and Brother Alpho are in the chat room. They both have shows on Blog Talk Radio.
Okay.
And yeah, and this is Dr. Reba, Sister India, and Brother Alpho, and to the listening audience, and you are all welcome to call in at 347-945-7040, and I'll be watching those lines, trying to make sure that I don't miss you if you do call in. But, you know, Dr. Reba, and let me say that Sister India, she's on daily at 10 a.m. Central Standard Time, if you ever have an opportunity to come on Block Talk Radio. And the way you spell her name is INDIADECLAIR. And there are some other hosts that, I'll provide some information about a little bit later on. But, you know, Dr. Reba, may I just, you know, ask you to see my daughter is my baby girl. She has two, a 3 and a 4 year old. Alpha is back. Welcome, Alpha. Anyway, a 3 and a 4 year old. The boy is 4 and the girl is 3. And you know, my daughter and I, we have some, all my kids that I have an opportunity to speak with, I try to give them as much information as I can, and you know, you like, it's hit and miss. Hopefully, it's correct information that'll provide them, you know, something that they can more successfully utilize than I was able to, you know, because I really, and you know, in that generation, I was raised by, you know, ladies, women, and they couldn't provide me with the information necessary as a male they had me to try to be respectable and respectful and, you know, that kind of thing. But when it came to, you know, and what it made you, in a way, is a target because, you know, you are very, I'm, you know, reasonably humble. I've changed over a period of years because of my exposure to different situations. But here's my point is that as those young ones are growing up, you know, there was a lot of people who would ask them, who's your girlfriend? I mean, who's your boyfriend? Who's your boyfriend? I tell them, you know, they don't have boyfriends. They have their books or their boyfriend. And, of course, my oldest daughter, she couldn't. That was really difficult for her. And but my youngest girl, she kind of hung in there. And I have two sons who have been married for any number of years, a lot longer than I have or was. But the point of, that I guess I'm trying to get to is that I wanted them to understand that just because a person showed some interest in you, which you alluded to, and you showed some interest to them, that can be misconstrued as being love. Am I reasonably correct in that?
Oh, absolutely. I think that, you know, I think we talked about attraction. It depends on what the attraction is. I mean, you know, every attraction does not necessarily have to be an intimate relationship. It could be a friendship. It could be a business relationship. Every relationship does not have to be a romantic relationship. So I think in evaluating what type of relationship, people come into our lives for different reasons, different seasons, and we have to evaluate, you know, and really ask ourselves, why are you in my life? And most people don't really do all the investigative work and ask the, you know, don't ask a lot of questions when they meet people, you know, and so, and then you find yourself in a relationship with someone you're not educationally compatible, you know, or just you don't have different things in common, and you know, and then you just have your different religions. All of these factors have to be included into establishing a relationship. Cultural, you know, different people have different cultures. They different believe, different value systems, different belief systems. All these things are what make up people's personalities and their beliefs. So these things, when you're talking about dating someone or trying to establish a relationship, these are factors that need to be considered.
Right, exactly. You know, yeah, culturally, spiritually, and you know, as you said, any number of things, because you know, I've found that you can be going to the same church and have real similar belief systems, but really have divergent ideas as to what a successful, I say, relationship, because, you know, I really have a problem with that term relationship. But anyway, initially, like I said, you start out, you like someone, you hold hands with them, you go to the movie with them, you share popcorn with them and drinks with them, you know, in the formative years, you know, in your adolescent years. And as you began to get a little bit older, there comes a threat sometimes. Where that there are other people who have an interest because the for some reason, you know, that person, the same attributes that you admire and appreciate and you long to have, you know, in your life, that another individual sees those same wonderful qualities in that person, and then it becomes, you know, a little bit more complicated. And so, you know, and for instance, I'll just use it for instance, and so a girl, you know, a lady, female, you know, as I'm older, you know, I realize now that I should have appreciated rather than try to hold on to her by using any manipulative process that I had in my repertoire, which was really small, but you know, any way that I could hold on to her, you know, in opposition to a male who had a similar interest. And today, this leads into, you know, back in the old days, it might lead into a few coarse words and maybe, you know, a physical altercation. But these days, it's really, really territorial, and it could lead to more an extensive encounter, you know. And it's all, you know, because you have an extremely well established understanding of how these mechanisms work. There are different members, even at my age of 58 and on down, who have no idea even that we have any issues, that we really don't understand that there are the possibilities for these mechanisms not to work. And so you understand what I'm saying? So we don't know, you know, now I know to seek help and seek information and seek people who, like yourself, have the ability to provide me with tools to resolve issues in a more, you know, a less aggressive fashion, you know. Am I making sense?
Yeah, you do. I mean, I think, too, what's happening is that people don't understand the dynamics of relationships or establishing commitments. Or,
right.
You know, because I understand you differ with the term relationship, so they don't know how to establish appropriate commitments or just commitments that can, you know, that are two people joining together, entering into some kind of covenant.
Mm-hmm.
There's a commitment to that. And I think, as I indicated, you know, previously, all factors have to be included when you talk about establish a relationship, because even in communication, the research indicates that the leading cause is divorce, and then communication, and next finances. And you have to understand, when two people are communicating, there's a receiver, there's a sender, people are encoding information, decoding information, but all of the aspects of communication are really based upon what you've learned in your environment and your family of origin. People hear things differently based upon their own experiences in their environment and their family of origin, which is the family you were raised in. So, you know, it's so interesting. People have to understand, when you're communicating, you say something, but I hear something altogether different. Well,
mm-hmm.
that could be because the way I was raised and my family of origin and the influence that environment had on me. I hear what you're saying differently. You're saying what you're saying, but I'm receiving it and decoding it different. All of these things people have to understand about, you know, in having a healthy dialogue among couples. It's
right.
important to understand the communication patterns with people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so mm-hmm. relationships or commitments with people and having healthy, and when we talk about healthy, we're not talking about just really dysfunctional, abnormal relationships. We're talking about healthy, where people actually can have healthy marriages, really is what the book Essentials of a Healthy Marriage is about, where people have healthy marriages.
You know,
and,
oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Dr. Ibn.
No,
sorry.
I just wanted to add this, too, that most African-American people don't seek counseling. The church has been the venue that they have used in order to bring spirituality and bring health. Unfortunately, the church has not talked about various commitment issues in marriage and how to process different things, even sexuality. The infidelity is the leading cause, and I think these are issues that are not discussed in the church, which most people of all different races attend some religious institution on Sundays. You know, it's the most segregated place in the world is church on Sundays. And so I think that, you know, that's why I do interviews and things to help people who are believers and who are not believers to understand how to work through understanding your issues, working, you being as healthy as you can be, and then you can have a healthy dialogue and encounter with another human being if you're healthy.
You know, see, Dr. Reeves, that's wonderful. I mean, that is absolutely phenomenal. And to my idea, like I say, you know, I've mentioned this to you before, recovering addict alcoholic, you know, and I have a little anonymity. But you know, and since, you know, August 22nd, 1988, because of my the belief in a higher power, and because, you know, the 12 steps work for me, is what I'll say. Now, you know, it's interesting that you would say that, you know, you work with people who have faith and some who have no faith. And you know, the whole idea, you know, in this particular instance, with the utilization of spirituality is the healing process of not only of the individual, but of the different relationships that we encounter throughout the you know, our existence. Because we'll have, because every family is not going to be alike. Some families have brothers and sisters and no dad, brothers and sisters, no mom, brothers and sisters who's come the product of backgrounds with alcohol problems or whatever kind of problems, and that actually becomes the norm in a way, the way that individuals the way that they traverse that environment in a way becomes a norm for them. But and you hold on to that because this represents my family, and you don't diss my family. This is the way we are, and this is the way, you know. But unfortunately, I try to be open-minded enough to realize that I may not be, you know, as accomplished, although I may be fairly confident in the way that I carry myself. It may not be that I'm accomplished in carrying myself in a way that facilitate the best, most successful outcome for me and all associated. And so then I have to be open to information such as what you provide. And I'm so thankful that you consented to provide that information to the listening audience that we do command here on Block Talk Radio. And my audience may not be that large, but I'm just grateful that they have the opportunity to apprise themselves of this information and to, you know, not feel criticized or not feel that someone's assaulting them because, you know, it may be that, you know, there is a better way to handle the situation. And everybody, it's a delicate thing to bring forth information because, you know, some people are insulted. Who are you to talk down to me, to tell me that, you know, I'm not that way. I mean, I think
that when you start talking about healthy, I think people begin to, and when you talk about the 12 steps, I mean, the first step is came to admit that you're powerless. The first thing
right.
of any kind of healing that is going to, it's going to exist in someone's life is when they come to the place of admitting that I am unhealthy and I need to be healed. And I think that then that means that it is not my mate that is the problem, it is me. And when we enter into relationships, we have to understand that every person we're with, we've taken something from that relationship, something positive, something negative. And what happens is after we leave that relationship, if that was a very unhealthy relationship or it was very abusive or psychologically aggressive, the person was physically aggressive or psychologically aggressive, then you've taken that into the next relationship. So now, you know, Sally was married to Bob and Bob was aggressive. Well, now Sally's with Bill and Bill does something and he says something that reminds her of Bob. Now she just totally clocks out on him and just totally rants, you know, because really she's remembering the first person, and this is not that person. So we really have to work through issues, unresolved issues in previous relationships, or we do subconsciously carry those and overtly or covertly demonstrate those in new relationships. So it's really important to really evaluate each relationship before you enter into another one. How did I get here, and what part did I play in the dissolution of such a covenant or contract? Because it's not one person's fault totally. Every person have a part to pay in the dissolution or in the success.
Right.
Of any kind of covenant. So I think in being honest enough to say, what part did I play in the dissolution of this contract or this covenant, and what part and what did I do wrong? You know, because whether it was not communicating or jealousy or resentment or unforgiveness or selfishness, there's a part that each person plays in the dissolution or the success of any kind of covenant or contract.
You know, I agree totally, and I mean, you know, there is no way to disagree with what you're saying, you know, Dr. Reben. And but here's my quandary, I guess, is a fairly decent way of expressing this, is that, you know, I think, just my observation, totally unprofessional, but my observation, that there are wonderful people who, you know, what I found, let me put it like this, what I found is, for instance, that there was someone referred to me as, oh, she's a wonderful person. She'll give you the shirt off her back, right? Whatever. Anyway, I said, and in my mind, based on my previous experience, that represented to me the perfect combination, because I felt I would do the same thing. I'd give you, you know, the last penny that I have, you know, and I thought this would make. But, you know, what I came to realize over a period of time is that that was a wonderful person, but we weren't compatible, you know. And so, I, you know, you try all kinds of contortions. You try all kinds of approaches, and you address situations all kinds of ways, because you continually think that eventually this is going to resolve itself. But the whole thing is, to me, is it, you know, worth the same for that person to resolve it with you as it is for you to resolve it with that person? You know, and what I came to conclude was that regardless to how motivated, how committed and determined I was, it doesn't have necessarily an impact or influence on the other individual, because, and I, you know, you would get angry, you would think, well, you didn't, you know, you see me trying to, you know, and I came to realize that I have to appreciate that individual for who they are. And if they're not satisfied with the efforts that I'm putting forth, then I should, you know, graciously accept it and have them understand that I by no means am trying to find any fault in you or condemn you in any way, but I know that I'm not able, I just don't have the energy or the concept or you know,
intelligence. The desire.
Well, you have the desire, but it can only last for so long. And you know, and so what this is what I told my you know, my ex. I said, you know, I said, listen, I said, in order for us to be together, I said, you would have to change. And she kind of turned her head sideways and curled up her eyebrows and looked at me, and I said, you know, and that's not fair to you. And so then she kind of got a smile on her face. I said, but if you don't change, I'd have to change, and that's not fair to me either. You know, and we had to come to a conclusion, and I don't know, you know, because we were both adults when we got involved with each other, but there was no way, based on, you know, our makeup, that you know, the way that we were, you know, I was made up, the way she was made up, that this thing would have worked out.
Well, when I said no desire, I mean the desire to want to work, to try to change someone. First of all, it's a person's, when we meet people, we have to, you know, we accept them for who they are.
Right.
There's no perfect human being. So
right.
People will have their, it's people have their flaws, and they will, you know, you'll find some, they'll have some character defects. And
mm-hmm.
You have to choose which character defects and flaws are you willing to accept, because
right,
there's
right.
a possibility that they might not change those on their own in their own process of recovery or discovery.
Right.
So it's really when you meet people, it's can I accept this character defect or this flaw in this individual, if they don't change, can I accept that? Because when we enter into covenants and relationships and commitments and we're trying to change people, we're really setting ourselves up for failure, because people are subject not to change, and we cannot change another human being. People have to desire, people have to first see that they need to change and then take the necessary steps in order to change. But you'd be spinning your wheels and wasting a lot of energy trying to change another. I don't marry them. I can change her. I can change him. No.
Mm-hmm.
Unless a person makes a cognitive decision to desire to change and put forth that effort, they're not going to change their behaviors and their attitudes and their beliefs.
I really appreciate you sharing this, because I don't know if it's being of any assistance to anyone else, but it's almost like, I should pay you because it's valuable information for me. And even at my age, because, I mean, I this information, and I'm looking forward to your book. And do you have a website? That.
Yes, Reba Israel, www.reba, R-E-B-A, Y-I-S-R-A-E-L.com. That's rebaisrael.com. If you put my name in, Reba Israel, it'll come up and you can find me.
Spell that Israel again?
Y-I-S-R-A-E-L.
A-E-L.com.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I'm going to be looking forward. And I tell you what, I want you to, I will send you, I don't know you, where you live or anything like that, but I'm going to send you the money, and I want you to autograph that book for me.
All right, we're definitely going to do that. We're excited about the Essentials of a Healthy Marriage, and we believe that many relationships will, they will have the necessary tools to be able to have better relationships in their next encounters.
Right.
You can't go back and change the ones you've already had, but you can prepare yourself and prepare, to prepare your mind, your behavior, your thoughts, your emotions for the next encounter, and have and collect more data. I think in when you're trying to get to know someone, there's a lot of questions that need to be asked. Just, you should really be a detective, pretty much, of ask as many questions as you desire to know, because that will help you make a decision if you want to even continue in this kind of having any kind of dealings with this individual. But if you don't ask those questions, if you don't watch the behavior, then you'll never really know.
being an adult, or even, there was a certain folly, Dr. Reba, a folly of this, because I tell my grandkids and I told my children, there is this idea that and it's a tool that's used by a lot of us, guys, it's top secret. But anyway, I'm going to divulge some information, and I'll probably lose my dude card here after I do this, but. The thought that I have is this, that I've seen it, and just to be honest with you, regretfully so, I've tried to employ it, which is to suggest that young ladies, like, for instance, I can look at my daughters and my granddaughters, on a personal level, and also my cousins they were taught to play nice with their little doll baby, whatever, to play with the little dishes or whatever. They're very nice. They're very, very nice, unsuspecting. And, this is a daddy thing and a granddaddy. Keep that dress down, girl. And guys, on the other hand, I went to segregated school, and the little school that I grew up in until sixth grade was in a little small country town. And we were around guys from the time I was, six, actually. We were around guys that were so much older than us, and the conversations that we heard, that we were privy to, were really they really, I'm gonna guess, were X-rated conversations.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and then you're around, you know, and I mean, I'm not saying any bad things about anyone. I'm just saying that this is the way that I was culturalized. And you know, I was around uncles or whomever or whatever, cousins, and they gave you ideas about, and girls really don't understand in a way what they're up against when they start dealing with a guy. And so initially, then you have this idea that you want to be physically involved with this young lady. Now, what my experience has been is that confuses all issues, because that person cares enough for you to allow you to trust you. And I really, at the point in time in my life, I mean, I didn't know what to do with trust. I really didn't even know what trust was.
Mm-hmm.
I knew what my objectives were, and I knew what my goals were, but I had no idea what trust was in regard to that individual and myself.
Yeah.
I had a plan, and I wanted to initiate it, and this person just happened to be part of it. And you know, as I look back on it, honestly, a lot of times, talking about spirituality, I happen to be a person who is a believer. Some people aren't. I'm not knocking them. Some people believe in this, that, and the other. That's their thing. I happen to believe in a power greater than myself, whom I choose to call God. And I regret derailing some opportunities. For not that I was just that great a guy, or I had this all this different possibilities. No. I regret if I ever derailed anybody in their pursuit to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
I regret it today. You understand what I'm saying?
Well, you know, we do have to, in some instances, we do have to go and make amends to those relationships, because in our ignorance, we have possibly derailed people, you know, to have added more injury to what they're already paying. You know, in just absolute ignorance, you know, just doing what we're doing. And once women understand that men are physical and women are emotional, and men, you know, when they understand that part, then they can understand that men's testosterone level, how they perceive sexuality, is very much different than women. Men can have a relationship, a physical relationship with you without as much as an emotional bonding. Women emotionally bond. Now we have issues because we're emotional, but the men are just physical. He just really wanted to reach, you know, to have an orgasm. She wants to have a relationship and an intimate relationship. So now you have issues, you know. And I think once women understand the development of how men and women develop, that will help them understand and possibly save themselves and collect more data from men before they enter into sexual relationships. They can, you know, get to know, do you like the person? You know, do you want to be with the person? Not only sexual, but because you, most of the time, you spend more time talking and walking than you do sleeping and, you know, having intimacy. So it's,
right,
do you even like the person, you know?
Right, exactly.
You know,
yeah.
So I think women have to be educated in that. And in the book, we talk about that, helping wives, women to understand that. Getting
to know
their own sexuality and getting to know their own desires and what is it that they want from a relationship, and what is their expectations, because if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for everything. So if this is not acceptable for you, then, you know, if this behavior of this man is not acceptable, then that's not a person you should be with. And talking about internal and external boundaries, I mean, what is acceptable to you? Men as well need to have those boundaries. If someone who's a liar, who lies and who cheats, is not accountable and not responsible, not trustworthy, you know, not dependable, that's not a person who you choose to have a relationship with. You need to know that before you have an intimate relationship with them, because then you become emotionally bonded.
You know, Dr. Reba, I'll tell you something. I've just noticed this, that my darn server here has gone down for some reason, but we're being archived, And
okay.
I'm just not able to do this. I mean, because I had noticed in the chat room that there were, you know, people were saying that that they were having problems hearing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was looking at this and it's Block Talk Radio. I don't understand what the problem is, but I'll find out, and I guarantee
okay.
you. May I ask you this, if you don't
yeah.
mind? is there any possibility that you would come back again?
Absolutely. Feel free to invite me to participate in your panel. I've enjoyed this opportunity and look forward to dialoguing further.
Well, I appreciate it. And like I say, this is being archived, so it'll be on archive. And regardless to, whatever the outcome is, because as long as you and I are online, it's working, but I'm not seeing any movement in the chat room, so I know that I may be having a problem getting out, maybe
okay.
not even getting out live, but it's just the problem with the chat room. I'm trying to reconnect with it because this is, you know, it's a beautiful medium, and I really appreciate it.
Okay.
And
well, I'm very happy that I can
I know what it is.
Be of assistance to you tonight.
Ma'am?
I said, I'm very, very pleased that I could be of assistance to you tonight.
You are
okay.
wonderful.
Okay.
This has absolutely nothing to do with you. I'm just now realizing that it's my server that's been the problem. But anyway, I tell you, I'm now we can go ahead and continue. I'm trying to wait for my server to boot back up on my own computer. But
all right.
We're still live on Blog Talk Radio, and but anyway, what I was going to say is that you were saying, and let me say this: you're welcome anytime, and I'll visit with you if you don't mind later.
Absolutely,
and,
I don't mind. I'm so glad that I had the opportunity to be on your show.
Oh no,
and
I'm looking forward to future
visitations.
So and I enjoy the rooms. I don't talk about that other program.
Right, I understand.
I don't know. You know, it's just if you choose to, you can. But you know, we have some wonderful discussions that you facilitate.
Okay.
And I'm sorry.
I understand what you're saying.
And you know, one of these days, if you don't mind, would you consider, coming on and doing one of your shows on here?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That would be
love
so lovely,
be
and I really would
that.
Appreciate
Absolutely.
It.
All right.
You
Excellent.
Know.
Excellent.
And yeah, so I'm looking forward. Like I said, I'm looking forward, and I had what the goal was that we have some really, you know, I've been fortunate enough to meet some really wonderful people, in the chat sites that we frequent. And like yourself, for instance, and different other individuals, the conversations that we have, you would think some people think are frivolous, but they have some depth to them, and they provide some information that I think would be, you know, beneficial for individuals, that's why I like to share them, and as I was saying before. My dear sis, Miss India DeClaire, and Brother Alpho, and D-Rock in Your World, she's also in the room. And I think you've seen her before in the room whenever you had your room open.
What is her name?
And D-Rock in Your World, Miss Rock Your World. She's been in your room before. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
And she herself is a professional individual. And
all right.
If you ever get a chance, Dr. Reba, India DeClaire, my sis, she's on it. And I call it, that's a term of endearment that I've adapted and hope she isn't offended by it, but I just think she's a wonderful person, wonderful spirit. She's on every day at 10 a.m.
All
Central
right.
Standard Time.
Mm-hmm.
And if you get a chance, you might check out her show. And also, let me throw these names out right quick. Sister Navazor, NAVAXOR1, She's also on Sundays at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And Miss Quiet Storm, she's on Saturdays, 9 a.m. Pacific Standard, and 10 a.m. Mountain Standard, 11 a.m. Central, and 12 noon Eastern. And that's Miss Quiet Storm. And she addresses, you know, information in a different way than I do. And then there's also Jay Early, and I can't find his I had gotten him up here, but I can't find him. And also Brother Alfo, Brother ALFO, he's on Saturdays. And if you'll go in Blog Talk Radio and type in ALFO, Alfo, and Sister Janice Brown, also OCG Network. And I, you know, but all these individuals are wonderful people that I've had the pleasure of meeting, you know, online and so forth. And it's like a little close-knit network. And what we try to do is provide information that corporate media doesn't provide too much anymore. I mean, you know, we use our little small media outlets to provide information to, you know, general public as we're offered the opportunity to. So, but now that I got all that out of the way, may I get back with you and finish the conversation that you were having, a beautiful conversation that I really appreciated again, in regard to the relationship issues and your book. And would you go ahead and say tell me what your book is again, please?
The Essentials. The title of the book is The Essentials of a Healthy Marriage. The book is gives a therapeutic principles and methods to help couples resolve marital couples resolve issues in communication and given problem solving techniques. It addresses it from a spiritual perspective of biblical. It has biblical scriptures to help from the spiritual perspective of saying what we should be doing as couples according to the Word of God. Most people are Christians or have some belief in a higher power.
Right.
And to whom I choose to call God. So that's what the book is about. And so the book will be out by November, and we're excited about that. It'll be available at Barnes & Noble and other bookstores and Amazon.com.
You know, and for any individuals, I feel, I'm going to take that information that you've given me, and I'll ask you for it again because I couldn't write. I don't write that fast.
Yeah, I'll
but,
make sure you get it.
Okay, and the reason is that, you know, I, where I work, we are involved in a total restructuring of our processes because of the fact that there have, for instance, been accidents that have caused injury and, in some instances, fatalities and... And the strange thing about it is that these guys have made me realize that the way you decrease injury and fatality is that you develop repeatable, successful process for, you know, going about doing whatever your activities are. And the process includes careful examination prior to being involved in whatever it is you want to do, regardless how simple it is. For instance, we will talk about, before we engage in a project, we have to get to that project. I mean, you know, and what I do is just menial oil field work. And in order to get to that project, you have to drive. And, you know, when driving, you have to consider weather conditions. You have to consider the conditions of your vehicle, the tires, the, you know, and all aspects in that regard. And so then you have to consider, we work around, you know, people that have cattle and a lot of different implements, for instance, maybe road graders or different types of equipment, tractors or whatever. And in order to go from one area to another, you have to negotiate all these entities and whatever that they can spontaneously present you with, any kind of condition, and you know, whether it be mud, whether it be ice, whether it be rain, you know, visibility, fog, and you consciously, you know, have to consider this. And so you make note of it. And so then you write that down on a sheet, and then you have certain equipment that you employ, you know, like fire-resistant clothing and, you know, steel-toed, you know, and all these things, you know, protective glasses or face shields or whatever, all these things you duly note, and you have to make a consideration before you involve, engage yourself. You have to consider, are there any potential pinch points where that you can, you know, catch your hand between two tools, or whether, you know, that if you have a sudden release of some type of energy, or, you know, are you going to be in the line of fire, and, you know, you have to make, if you're walking up a ladder, you have to have 3 points of contact, or at least, well, three, you know, let go one, you know, you have 2 feet and one hand, let go of one and grab, you know. And these things are really trite to me after being involved for 32 years.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea is that you want to get home every day and you want to be whole, physically whole. You want to be, you want to have all your fingers and toes, and you don't want to have any eye injuries, any kind of injuries. Now, I said all that to say this, that if it's that significant to be employed and look for success, then is that significant to my idea when you involve children and grandchildren, the spouse, in-laws, and so forth? You want a process that's repeatable, that the kids could follow it and have success, as much success as you and whoever you're involved with they should have the same success that you expect for yourself.
Absolutely.
This is why, for me, that your books like yours and information that you provide and different other ones is so essential, is because a lot of times if we get through things, it's haphazard. No one can tell us, you know, how did you stay successfully married for 45 years? Oh, I don't know. We just did it. You know,
there
are techniques that people employ to accomplish certain objectives.
Investment. I think that most people don't make an investment. Relationship building and longevity and long-lasting marriages require investment and commitment. And we live in a microwave generation. Everybody wants it now. I want, you know, everything. You can microwave almost every food today. You can defrost something in, you know, 5 or 10 minutes, you know, roast. And, you know, but relationships and covenant and contracts and long-lasting, intimate, you know, commitments, they require hard work and patience, and people are not, must be willing to put forth that effort in order to have a successful and long-lasting covenant with another human being.
Right. Right, exactly. And you know, that as I said before, you know, the book that you provide, that information, as well as even the potential and possibility to be able to communicate with you as we have the opportunity to in certain venues, provide us the opportunity to add on to our skills. To examine and you know, say, well, you know, I don't agree with, you know, but at least I may not agree with Dr. Reba here, but at least Dr. Reba has generated a thought process that I had previously not even considered.
Mm-hmm.
And by me considering that, you know, by me having to defend my position on a particular issue, I have to have some type of concern for that aspect of whatever it is that I'm involved with. And so that to me is why that what you and so many people like you do that's so very essential is that we really seriously have an opportunity, if we choose to apply the tools, you know, and not that you're going to have every tool in your book, but that you can generate, you know, the idea that, well, you know, I need to go out and get this tool, or I can see where that makes sense to me that, you know, I need to take a different look at this situation that I'm involved in. And you know, and it gives us the opportunity, you know, whenever we're asked questions, because, you know, my children and grandchildren are going to ask me questions. And rather than, you know, I will have had an opportunity to have some forethought and to have checked out whether or not what my position was initially was the absolute best position that I could have attained. And even the consideration of coming to whatever conclusion that I come to allows whomever it is that I'm speaking with to realize that there are tools and there is an objective, and you have to avail yourself of knowledge and information and look at some of these objectives and so forth, so that you can build from where I am. You can stand on my shoulders. And because, you know, otherwise we step out here and because I'm X amount of years old, I got the key to everything. No, not exactly. You know, I really realize that it would be nice if I had all that, but it's not, you know, absolutely, I may not have all that, you know, and I may not be all that. And therefore, you know, it would be best for me to seek some information and knowledge and avail myself of it so that I can, you know, not misdirect individuals, if I'm making any sense. Are you still there?
Yes, I'm here. I'm listening to you.
Oh, okay. I'm thinking that I'm trying to get this computer back online, and I'm thinking, like, did I lose Dr. Reba?
No, you're absolutely making sense. So I agree. I think that, you know, relationships are a process, and it requires hard work. And most people, if you want to have a long-lasting, successful relationship, you have to learn skills and techniques in order to do that. You have to learn temperament, your temperament, your spouse's temperament, you know, and how personality factors play in, how family of origin, what you learned from your grandmother, your grandfather about relationships, what a woman should do, shouldn't do, all of these things. All of this is, you know, help. Understanding will help you make better decisions in a relationship.
Right.
And help you understand who you are and where you got some of the quirky stuff. You got some quirky stuff going on in your
right.
brain. It helps you understand where you have derived this information from, which is, like you said, sitting with your uncles and men. You know, you took information
right.
from that, and as a young man, very impressionable. I'm sure that you thought that was factual or accurate and appropriate,
right.
you know, and then when you become an adult, you go, that was kind of weird. So, you know, but it's a process.
Mm-hmm. You know, the idea of it all is to me that, you know, and what I see is that going from my personal experience, I mean, you know, going from all the way from individual and personal experience, that experience is also useful in encounters outside my initial relationship.
Absolutely.
You know, in community, as well as, you know, as different in different social environments, for instance, you know, spiritual environments or whatever. You know, there are tools that I'm sure that'll be gained from an exposure to your information that
Absolutely.
Would allow us to, you know.
It will allow the couples. I think the Essentials of a Healthy Marriage, the book is really, it's going to definitely benefit those people in a marriage and those people that are contemplating such
mm-hmm.
a covenant and contract, and give them the information to make better choices in their selections and behavioral changes and cognitive changes in their thought processes to have a healthy relationship. So
mm-hmm.
I think it will benefit your listeners as well.
Yeah. I'm hoping that we'll stay connected because
absolutely.
What I'm doing is I'm totally rebooting this computer. I have no clue. But I tell you what, if we get disconnected,
okay,
Dr. Reba, I'm going to give you my most humble apology. And because I had no clue. I was looking at this thing, my modem here.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know what happened to it. I'm on SBC DSL, and this is. You don't know how angry I am.
Okay, but we'll have to do it again. I'm very grateful. Thank you very much for contacting me. I'm glad I was able to do the show with you, and I hope I've said something that can help your audience.
Well, I tell you what, if you if an hour and a half is a long time, and you spent a little bit over an hour with me,
yeah.
And if you have something you need to do. Fine. If you want to go ahead and let's finish it out, that's fine. But I'm just so grateful that you consented, you just don't know how humble and honored and delighted and appreciative, and how much admiration that I have for you and the work that you put in over the years that you've been involved. So all your accomplishments
thank you. Thank you very much. And like I said, anything that we can do to help you in your endeavors, we'd be more than happy to do such.
Well, that's wonderful.
Okay.
And if you want to go now or whatever, then I'll finish up by. But I just Dr. Reba Israel, and that's www.rebayisrael.com. Right?
Yes, that's correct.
And the book is The Essentials of a Healthy Marriage.
Absolutely, The Essentials of a Healthy Marriage.
And it's soon to be on store shelves.
You're able to get it from Amazon.com and Barnes & Noble's and your major bookstores.
And I'm going to get more of those particulars, and I'm going to provide that information to my listening audience as soon as I get a chance to.
Okay, and I'll be letting you know what city I'll be in to do a book tour. So just
wonderful.
I'll keep you posted. All right.
Wonderful.
I'll keep you posted. All right, then. Well, thank you very much for allowing me to be your guest tonight.
Thank you so much, Dr. Reben. God bless
right.
you and the family.
All right. Thank
and
you.
We will talk with you some other time. Thank you,
okay,
ma'am. You
thank
have a beautiful
you.
Night.
You too.
Thank you. And I want to take this opportunity to apologize to all my listening audience. I want to say thank you, Dr. Reben, first of all, for a wonderful opportunity to spend some time with her to get some information, and I hope you feel that you've been informed and inspired by the conversations, not by me, but by the information. Dr. Reba is a wealth of information, and if you have any opportunity to spend some time with her or her the book, then I hope you get a chance. I hope you take advantage of it because she is a wealth of knowledge and information, and she is to me a truly a spirit, a blessed spirit. And as it, regardless of what your spiritual inclination is, or if you have none at all, I think that there are some fundamentals in her book that would be that would be beneficial for any of us. If we wanted to apprise ourselves of that information. And I'm regretfully going to have to end right now, and it's going to be about 13 minutes past right now. So that's 17 minutes before the hour of 8:30 p.m., 13 past 8 Central Standard Time. And I really regret that I had problems, technical difficulties today, but I hope I get these resolved, and I hope you'll join us again next Thursday on Ice and Friends, the next phase with Ice and Friends. And hopefully we'll have a better connection and a better result. But the quality of the guest far exceeds the quality of the tools that I was employing today. So I hope that you will get a chance to expose yourself. When I say that, I mean gather the information from Dr. Reba, take a look at her and read her book, and we'll be giving you more information about her book into the future. And she has graciously consented to come back, and I'm so appreciative for that. And I want to thank the guests that we had in the chat room tonight, who were Brother Alpho, Miss D Rock Your World, and my dear sis, Miss India Declare. And Brother Alpho is on Saturdays. I'm not sure. You'd have to go to Blog Talk Radio and just type in ALFO in the search block there, and it will give you the information on Brother Alpho. And Sister India Declare is on every day, Monday through Saturday, at 10 a.m. Central Standard Time. And her show is phenomenal, as is Brother Alpho's, as is Sister Navazar, who's on, I believe, Sundays at 6. And I don't, my computer went down, so I don't have the information available to me. But Sister Miss Quiet Storm, she's on. You'd have to just go to Blog Talk Radio, type in Miss Quiet Storm, and she'll provide. And it'll be the information will be provided for you there, how you can find her show. And Brother Jay Early's show is also Jayearley. His show is on also, and Miss Janice Brown, OCG. Janice Brown, I believe you can look her up, OCG, Our Common Ground, I believe is what it is. And there are any number of individuals that I really appreciate who have a part on Blog Talk Radio, and I think we really appreciate you sharing your time with us. So we'll say blessings to you and your family. We'll be looking forward to spending some time with you next week, 7 until 8:30 p.m. right here Thursday evenings, with the next phase with Ice and Friends. Thank you for joining us.